The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas in studio with Craig Burley. What a moment, Craig, as we focus on the Community Shield, which was won by Arsenal at Wembley. Aubameyang opening the scoring in the first half with a beautiful curling effort. Liverpool better in the second half. Minamino with the equaliser. Eventually, it would go to penalties. And it was young Ryan Brewster, the only one to miss it, which in the end meant that Arsenal would be crowned Community Shield winners. And let's take a look then who has won the most Community Shields. United at 21, their last one back in 2016. Arsenal then leapfrog Liverpool now with 16 to their name. Liverpool at 15, Everton at 9. As I mentioned before, we've got Craig here in the studio, Don Hutchison with us as well outside Wembley. Don, it was a good game, wasn't it? Well, that's good. I'm glad
I've had enough of Hutchinson already. That's twice we've gone to him today and he's not bothered. I mean, he turns up for these big gigs at Wembley and then disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So,
Craig, this was a good game. I enjoyed it.
No, it's a good game. It's good to, obviously, you know, what we've all been through in the last few months and I suppose continue to go through. It's nice, you know, and from a soccer parlance, we have seen all the big leagues get finished, from the Cup Final, the Champions League. We now have the start of the Premier League season in England coming up. That was the showcase game that goes before that. Two big teams taking it serious. Obviously, Liverpool looking to continue dominance, and it was complete dominance last year, as we know, in England anyway, from a league perspective. And Arsenal with a young manager who we have to question. Like Solskjaer at United, like Lampard at Chelsea. Are Arsenal doing the right thing, hiring an inexperienced manager who's been working under Guardiola at Man City, albeit? But that's different. Once you step out of that bubble, you've got to start making your own decisions. You've got to deal with the dressing room. And he's done that brilliantly so far. Now, can he take it, the momentum, and it's clear momentum, can he take that over the course of a season with the injuries? You know, the games that are going to be coming thick and fast, the expectations of winning an FA Cup and beating the teams that he did, and then not just winning the Community Shield, but winning it against one of the best Liverpool sides for a long time. And you know what fans are like? Fans, it's either terrible or it's absolutely brilliant. And Arsenal fans, and I'm not saying fans are stupid, but they'll think, do you know what? This year could be great.
Yeah.
But there's a long way to go.
What has Arteta done in particular? Throughout this game, you were saying you can see his fingerprints all over this side. What is it that has changed since he's taken over?
Well, we're hearing Don's decided to turn back up. But before we go to him, a clear plan, a clear shape. When they've got the ball, you can see, like Maitland-Niles, who we believe may be going to Wolves, and maybe Arteta's having second thoughts. He was man of the match today. And they're going to need a squad. Because their squad's not the best out of all the big boys. They're going to need players. But him just coming inside, allowing, you know, Tierney to go down the left, allowing Aubameyang to come in at times, and then Xhaka going back and filling in to make sure they don't get left exposed on the counter-attack. It's almost a copycat of what was happening at Man City, to a sense. But guess what? It was working for Man City.
Yes.
So he's taken the blueprint, he's putting his own stamp on it, and almost importantly, do you know what? If you look at all the Arsenal players, they all look happy. You know what I mean? They're happy. There doesn't look like there's any dissent. They trust what Arteta's wanting to do. They like him. They respect him so far. They're getting results. And when the players are happy and you know you've got a chance of winning and you also know you've got a great match winner in Aubameyang, that makes a big difference.
Is it naive to think that just off one performance, Maitland-Niles could stop that from happening, stop that move to Wolves? And that the Arsenal board will look and go, actually, you know what? He's putting a man in the match performance today.
Well, I don't know the whole scenario behind it, whether they need to, you know, what they need to raise, who they need to get off the wage bill. talking about Lacazette on big money, Ozil on huge money. Clearly, people have to go. But here you have a guy in Maitland-Niles who, and this is the thing, can play several roles.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys can play one role, maybe two. He's a guy that can play several. And I think whilst he'll never be first on the team sheet, clearly, you know, there's going to have to be a role for squad players at Arsenal. And the answer is yes. So I'll be interested to know Mikel Arteta's take on it, or the players' take.
Right.
Is he there?
Let's try, shall we? Don, it's been a very good month for Arsenal at Wembley.
They've been sensational. I tell you what, if you're an Arsenal fan, you must be loving life at the moment because you've actually seen a little bit of hard graft from them. You can see the patterns of play unfolding on the pitch. They're playing out from the back. I mean, they've scored an unbelievable goal right from the goalkeeper, playing out from the back and playing through the lines. You can actually see the plan. The players obviously looked happy at the end of the game when they won on penalties. Even during the game, Dan, there's a different atmosphere when you're watching the Arsenal players. They're working incredibly hard and they've got a smile on their face because they're enjoying life.
And of course, Aubameyang once again scoring a sensational goal, Don.
Well, it was good work from, you know, the back line playing out from the back and the goalkeeper, but Aubameyang was their star man. I mean, he faded slightly in the second half when Joe Gomez went to man mark him, but he was a threat every time he got the ball. He was getting in behind Nico Williams, who naively showed him inside onto his right foot, which, you know, he'll learn, the youngster, where you've got to send him to the byline. But every single time he got it, you know, he just looked a threat. He scored a wonderful goal, but he was working back and he looked happy. He was getting on the ball. He was trying his tricks. He just had a fantastic game for the first 45, obviously, because, as I said, he got marked out the game second half. But I just see something different, Dan, when I'm watching these Arsenal players. They don't carry any passengers anymore.
Don, I had to check. I'm just looking at how you're dressed. I've had to check this Community Shield still in August. I mean, is it cold in London? Are you wearing that cap for a bit?
Mate, it's absolutely Baltic here. It's got diagonal rain, right? So I've got a hat on, I've got a snood on, I've got Under Armour on underneath.
Oh my goodness.
It's ridiculously cold. Alexis hasn't even bothered to show up.
Don,
at least I'm brave enough to show up.
Don, why would Arsenal be letting, for example, Maitland-Niles go? You know yourself, you need a squad in this game to compete. Why would they be letting somebody go that can play in as many positions as he can?
Craig, I have got no idea, because before the game, chatting to Alexis, you know, when I seen his name on the team sheet, I was actually glad because I love the kid. I love watching him. You know, he can, as you said, Craig, he can play in a number of positions. He's physically very strong. He's a great athlete. And I have got no idea why Arsenal or Mikel Arteta think that he's the one that they can allow to go out the door for £20-25 million. If you're Wolves, if you're Newcastle, whoever might be chasing him, try and get him signed up straight away, because the attitude in the kid is tremendous. And I think Arsenal fans absolutely love him as well. So I've no idea why Mikel Arteta doesn't feel as though he fancies him, because he's played him in the big games. He was man of the match in the cup final and he's man of the match today.
Don, is Martinez number one choice now in goal?
Absolutely. He had another terrific game where I think they've stumbled across a fantastic goalkeeper. He's got presence. You know, when there was no fans inside the stadium today, Dan, he was bossing his back four. He was organising. You can see he's a leader. His story's amazing, actually, where he's come from and how many loan spells he's had at lower league clubs. But again, he's got so much confidence about him. Normally, when players go through one-on-one like Sadio Mane did today, you feel as though, right, that's a goal. With him in the nets, all of a sudden now you're questioning yourself, thinking, well, the goalkeeper's got a chance here. And of late, he's been pulling off some fantastic saves.
You know, you funny you mentioned that. I was watching, I nearly said Jay Leno, Bernd Leno at the end of end of the game. And he had one of those looks. Clearly, obviously, he had that long that injury that allowed this scenario to happen. As Don said, stumbled across Martinez, really. But I was watching him, and I might be wrong, but he had the look at the end of one of those half sort of grinning smiles, happy for your team, but realising that the pathway back into the side might be difficult. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're competing. If I'm playing central midfield and Don Hutchinson comes in and plays brilliantly, am I absolutely delighted for him? No, I'm not.
No.
Because I want to get back in that side ASAP, and that's the competitive edge of a player. And I kind of looked at Leno at the end and thought, he knows currently at this moment in time, if this continues, when he's fully fit again, he's going to be on the bench. And I don't think Mikel Arteta has, and I think I'm absolutely sure he's shown already, he has no sentiment involved in his team selection.
No.
Playing well, you start.
Yeah.
And I got that look, that feeling when I saw the shot of Leno at the end.
It's interesting, Arsenal putting in these sort of performances, Don, obviously without their most expensive man, Mesut Ozil, once again, not involved. Guendouzi as well, by the way, on the sideline, which I think is quite relevant to what Craig was bringing up. The fact is that clearly there's no favourites with Arteta. If you come in and you play well, you get a chance. If you act like an idiot, as he did against Brighton, then you're out.
But isn't that how it should be? I mean, no surprise Craig doesn't actually want me to play well because he's looking after himself. I mean, no surprise there. But that's how it should be. This is professional sport. You can't carry passengers. You can't just play Guendouzi because he got signed and he looks as though he's got a prospect. And Mesut Ozil's got all the talent in the world, but he's not performing. He's not trying and actually doesn't look bothered. So you can't play these guys. If you can't rely on them, you know, at some point the board now has got to take urgent action with Mesut Ozil, and somehow they've got to be sensible enough to give him what he wants, whatever the money might cost, pay him to get out the door. Because when I watch Arsenal now, it looks like a happy camp.
Yeah.
And when I see all these Arsenal youngsters busting a gut for the manager, for the fans and for themselves to try and play well and work extremely hard, you don't want someone like Mesut Ozil ruining that dressing room. I mean, David Luiz, we all know he's never going to change, but from what I hear from within the camp, he's actually a good guy and he's trying to pass on his knowledge, and that's how it should be. And he'll give those youngsters one more year of all of his experience, then he'll go away and he'll finish his career somewhere else. And all those young kids who are learning and trying to gain all the knowledge that they've got will learn off someone like David Luiz. They ain't going to learn off Mesut Ozil, or they will learn the bad way if they think that's acceptable, which is not.
The difference with that, I'm not comparing the situations, they're completely different. But the difference in the re-signing of David Luiz is that he's playing a position that's needed.
Yeah.
Let me tell you now, the way Mikel Arteta sets the Arsenal side up to play, there is no place in that side for Mesut Ozil. Come rain or shine.
Right.
No place. Because how do you fit a guy like him into a side that have lately, against the big teams, played a defensive, structured game and then hit fat, which needs everybody on the same page, and then hit super fast on the counter-attack? Because one, he can't defend, and two, he can't run. So how's he going to transition into the counter-attack? Because he hasn't got the pace.
Right.
He's a luxury player, like, who would slip into a Man City side when they've got all this possession and he can lounge around and then pick a pass. At Arsenal, the way they're playing, there is no way in this world that Mikel Arteta can shoehorn them into this side. Not a chance, not the way he's trying to play. He's toast, but he's £300,000 a week toast, and that's a problem for Arsenal. But he's not getting back in the side. Never.
Meanwhile, let's focus on Liverpool, shall we? It's a bit of deja vu to what we saw in the last Community Shield, losing on penalties to Manchester City. But I feel this is slightly different, Don, because, of course, in that game, Liverpool showed a lot of hope, very bright against City, and obviously then kickstarted that game to go on and win that league. This time round, this performance comes in off the back of a poor end to the season. Are we reading too much into it, or should we be a little bit concerned about the defending champions?
No, I think you're right to be concerned, Dan. And I think when you look at the pre-season camp that they've had, which has been an extremely good one, I thought they would have walked all over Arsenal today. I thought they would have been super fit. I thought Sadio Mane and Andy Robertson were their best two players by a million mile. But I have never, ever said I was bored of watching Liverpool. But I tell you what, for the first 45 minutes, I was pretty bored watching them because their passing was so slow. I mean, credit Arsenal for having a good defensive shape, but Liverpool were nowhere near. And I think I said something on social media at half-time, expect a rocket or two from Jurgen Klopp at half-time. And he certainly must have delivered that, because when he made his substitutions and Joe Gomez went to right back to take care of Aubameyang, and then Naby Keita come on, who was fantastic as well for the second 45, they had a lot more purpose about them. They looked as though they wanted to try and win the game. Sadio Mane was terrific. I was very disappointed in Mo Salah. I was watching Mo Salah in these conditions with the driving rain, and he had his sleeves sort of over his knuckles and he was a little bit cold. and he looked as though to me he didn't really fancy the game. He had some little flashes when the ball came at his feet, but not enough for a man of his quality and the standards that he set. So I would be worried if I was a Liverpool fan.
He wasn't wearing a big snood and a cap though, was he?
Yes.
Don.
No, but at least he had the ability to run around though, Craig. I was just sat in the seat being freezing cold.
You never did run around anyway, did you? We were talking, and Liverpool, like, get used to it. Team sitting deep, you know, denying space, which Arsenal did very well. And as Robbo said, they defended the box well in the first half in particular. But then had a plan going forward and were able to transition out quickly. That was the key. Defending deep is particularly easy. The key is, how do you transfer that to being a threat going forward? And Arsenal did that brilliantly. I mean, you saw the goal, played around the press, hit the big diagonal, stretched Liverpool, boom. But from Liverpool's perspective, some teams came out and tried to have a go at them last year and got pulverised. Expect more teams to sit in. I was saying to you, that's why I think the Thiago signing will get accelerated.
Yeah.
A player who can come in and be a different player from what they have and pick a pass. They needed that today against a very resolute and solid Arsenal defence.
Well, as promised, let's see if this works. We're linking up with Stuart Robson, also at Wembley. Let's continue with that Thiago storyline, shall we? Do you think today is the kick up the backside that maybe the Liverpool board need to go and spend that money, Robbo?
Yes, I do, because when you saw Liverpool today and there was no space in behind, as Craig and Don have been talking about, you needed a player that could pick out a pass, that could make that diagonal pass, could play a little 1-2 and play a ball in behind the opposition, you know, on the diagonal. And they didn't really have that. Wijnaldum, I thought, was disappointing, didn't really make runs into the box at times. Fabinho would pass it square and backwards at times, but didn't really find that forward pass. And Milner, we know he's a very good defensive player, he works hard, but he's not going to pick out that, you know, match-winning pass. So that was the key for Liverpool, not playing particularly well in the first half. And Arsenal defended it well. And when crosses came into the box, who was going to win the ball in the box? There wasn't going to be a Liverpool player diving into the box to get there and win that header. Wijnaldum's the only player that can do that from midfield, and he was sitting much, much deeper. So they need a passer that's going to create for Liverpool, and Thiago could certainly be that man.
Robbo, I think back to us talking about the Community Shield last year, and it's where, in fact, you changed your mind as to who was going to win the league. From what you saw from Liverpool, you were like, no, they look like the team that are going to do it this year. They can get over Manchester City. Does this kind of have the opposite effect? Have you seen from Liverpool today something that will concern you going forward?
I still think Liverpool are the favourites. I still think they're the team that everybody's got to beat. But we saw something, and Don just mentioned, they were a bit flat in that first half. When they needed to quicken up the pace, they weren't able to. So I think that could be a problem for them going forward. And as Craig said, teams will defend much deeper against Liverpool this year. They know that the danger is when they leave space in behind for Mane to run. He did it once in the second half where he nearly got in, and Martinez made a good save. When Salah makes runs in behind and Firmino drops that little bit deeper to find the passes, that's the problem you have. So teams are going to sit deeper, and Liverpool have to come up with a plan to open up teams. So that's why I'd be slightly worried if I was Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, but I still think they're favourites to win the title.
Robbo, it'd be amiss of me not to talk. We've talked about Arsenal quite a lot already in the show, but as you're just joining us, I just want your overall take on what you saw today.
Good understanding, good discipline. I thought they defended really well when balls were played into their top third of the field. And they're going to take risks. They played out from the back a couple of times where they didn't do it particularly well. But for the goal, that's where it came from. They played out from the back. Liverpool had put a lot of players on the press. They played around that press. And suddenly, Arsenal had an overload in the top third of the field. And they did that on several occasions. Even though they wanted to play out from the back, they left four up front against Liverpool's four at times. And that was the way they're going to play. I thought Arsenal played really well. And even when they conceded the goal to go 1-1, they came out and started playing again. And Maitland-Niles, I think Arsenal should keep him because he's an exceptional player when he's playing in that left wing-back position. They're the best three games I've seen him have, the last three he's had for Arsenal. And so I can't understand why they would want to sell him to Wolves.
But even after, you know, 38 games a long season, Robbo, to keep it going with squads and injuries and European competitions, but at least Arsenal fans can see a manager who has a plan going forward of what he wants.
Yeah, we're seeing patterns of play. We're seeing a game plan about whether it's playing out from the back, whether it's hitting Aubameyang on the big dial with the movement of the wide players, Aubameyang, Maitland-Niles. And today it was the centre forward and Nketiah coming that little bit deeper to allow space for Aubameyang to run into. We saw Xhaka being far more disciplined than he's ever been in terms of his holding role and picking out the right time to get tackles in, when to drop off, when to pick out the forward pass. Even Elneny, you know, there's a player that we all believe is going to go away, but he still showed discipline and an understanding what Mikel Arteta wanted from him. And the likes of David Luiz looks a far more controlled centre-half than he has done in previous games for Arsenal. So things are looking up for Arsenal at the moment. Yes, they've got to make sure they get one or two signings in. Those new signings have got to come and play well for Arsenal. He's got to keep it going. But at the moment, it all looks very good for them.
Things are going well for Arsenal, but they're not going so well for Robbo, because all those fans of his that mobbed him at the FA Cup final, they've gone away. He must have said something.
That's it.
don't worry. Don't worry. I can see them coming down the road. Don't worry.
It's happening again.
Here we go.
Coming again, Tyler.
It's happening again.
Oh, no. What's so, security?
There we go.
Oh, dear.
Is it right on cue?
Right, it's on cue. It's on
security. I actually was jesting because it was, that was tongue in cheek, because it was
good timing,
so,
Craig.
Because it was so quiet. I didn't realise my timing was so good there, because it was so quiet behind Robbo. But
your timing was better there than it ever was when you were playing and making runs into the box. Don told me anyway.
I've seen Don's attire and I've seen your overcoat. That's enough. Right, trust me.
So Arsenal then win the...
I think I'll win that battle.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Arsenal win the Community Shield. Inevitably, though, that will come very much secondary to the headlines that continue to dominate the world news, and that is the future of Lionel Messi.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Aubameyang.
The reports are that he will not turn up for training on Monday for the pre-season testing at Barca. Manchester City odds on to be the next club, even for him to stay in Catalonia. If you follow Don on social media, good luck to you. You've also heard him say on the show as well, he is convinced this is all about calling the bluff of the Barcelona board. Do you still maintain that, Don?
I do, because I'm not sure, Dan, what the numbers are going to be. You know, it's all very confusing whether Lionel Messi can leave for a free transfer or someone's got to pay between £200 and £700 million for him. So I'm not convinced that he's going to move on. I hope he does, by the way. I hope he comes to the Premier League. It's very exciting if you're a Man City fan thinking that Lionel Messi's going to play, or even if you're a PSG fan. I mean, how exciting would that be with Neymar and Mbappe? What a front line that could be. But I'm still convinced that he stays at Barca. I'm still convinced that maybe in a year's time, Xavi takes over. But I've no idea where maybe leaves Ronald Koeman, because it's all just an absolute mess.
A year's time, he's 34, isn't he? Thereabouts.
Yes.
I mean, this Barcelona squad at the moment is a mess. And Sid Lowe, our colleague who obviously is in Madrid, covers Spanish football extensively, was saying on yesterday's FC show he doesn't think there's going to be a turnaround, because he thinks...
So you're saying Sid, the La Liga expert, against a man in Madrid,
against a man with a flat cap in London, he's saying it's gone too far. The resignation or not, if it happened, of the president is neither here nor there. He said it's gone too far down the line. I can't condone if a player doesn't turn up for training, which may or may not happen. But it's going to be a hell of a big story if he doesn't. And it's going to put so much fuel in the fire. But I think when Messi looks at... If Barcelona had a clear plan now of new signings, fresh faces, and a guarantee of being back where they belong, I think there's a chance. But I think he's looked at what they have and thinks... And even the introduction of Ronald Koeman.
Yeah.
You know, who's to say he's a big fan of Ronald Koeman? So I personally think he wants a change. And Sid pretty much said yesterday, He does not. He said there was a saying in some in Spain about that they're condemned. The clubs are condemned to sort this out because Messi's. You can't have an unhappy player.
Robbo, you mentioned before for you Liverpool were still favourites. Does Lionel Messi in a Manchester City shirt change that?
I think it certainly would because they've got a team that are very good players at the moment. They've got the best coach in the world, I think. And then Lionel Messi would just add to that. And Guardiola knows how to get the best out of Lionel Messi. I think he'd have a new lease of life. He'd have two brilliant ears. And if he came and played maybe in the number 10 role or from a wider position, I think he could make Man City better team than Liverpool at the moment. So, yes, I think that would change my opinion. If Messi comes to Manchester City, I think they would win the title.
Yeah, but Messi coming, Robbo, if it happens, doesn't just... alone, I think. I mean, it obviously makes him even better to watch. And you think about De Bruyne and all these players. Mm. But they're still going to have to patch up that back line to have success, yep. In my opinion.
They've either got to patch up the back line or Guardiola, and I talk about him being the best coach, he's got to show his coaching credentials and make them better organised, make sure they do make good decisions, because that's what they did last season. They weren't quite sure when to squeeze up, and when they were outnumbered, the defenders made individually bad decisions. He's got to make them better at that. And I think he has to do that, and if he can do that with Messi, Man City will be favourites.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Alan is now an Everton player. This happened quickly, didn't it? Making that move from Napoli. A good capture for the Everton team that are looking to be busy during this transfer window. As you welcome in, Shaka Hislop joins us in the studio. We'll be hearing from Shaka in a moment. What Everton are aiming to do and what their ambitions are for the start of the new season. But we start, well, look at this. What a haircut, Ali. Take that. Alejandro Moreno is with us. Ali, it's a great signing, isn't it, for Everton?
First of all, in addressing my haircut, I am running out of options, as you know, Dan. So, therefore, this is all that I got going for me. So, as it pertains to Alan and Everton, yes, a good signing for Everton and a good get. And I think a player that will become an important piece for them. But I just think it's another attempt of Everton in trying to become relevant. As we speak about Everton right now, they're the definition of a mid-table team, and they're trying to take a step in the correct direction. They're trying to trend in the correct direction, but they're playing catch-up against teams that, quite frankly, well, not only are they ahead of them in terms of player talent, but they're also ahead of them in terms of the money available and their ability to really, because of their names and because of their history, to bring in players. So, yes, a good get for them and a good player that is going to be useful for them, but I don't know that they achieve a whole lot more than they achieved this season in the Premier League.
Jack, they're looking to go for someone like James Rodriguez as well. This report's been doing the rounds over the last few days. Obviously trying to build some sort of momentum here under Ancelotti.
Yeah, but even with that momentum, the question remains exactly how far does it take Everton? How much closer to that top four if you have to feel, if this is the kind of money they're spending, if they are bringing in players like James Rodriguez, that's got to be the aim. I just don't see Everton being that club, certainly not right now. They're playing too much of a game of catch-up with the top four. So I won't go so far as to say this just makes them relevant, as Ali put it, but I don't see how James Rodriguez advances anything in terms of his career or rediscovering it in a club like Everton who won't be competing for England's higher honours.
Meanwhile, a story that's kind of been lost amongst all of the Messi reports is, of course, that Luis Suarez leaving Catalonia, his destination, plenty of clubs linked to him, including Atletico and Juventus. Ali, we talked about this last week. Mentally, he'll think, definitely, I can still play at the very highest level. Can he at clubs like those?
Well, let me take Juventus first and the case for Juventus in trying to chase after Luis Suarez. There is no case. This is essentially a sidestep from Higuain to Luis Suarez, and I don't think that you achieve much there. Although Luis Suarez at his best can still score goals with some consistency, the problem is injuries. And now there is a history of injuries. And so why go chase yet another 33-something-year-old, a guy that has struggled staying on the field over the last couple of seasons? It doesn't quite make sense from Juventus' perspective, and go spend a whole lot of money to bring a guy that it really is kind of an Higuain. You just had that issue. You didn't really deal with it with Higuain being there, and now you're going to bring yet another guy that is going to have some of the same problems, an aging superstar, and a guy that, yes, can score goals, but will also create some issues for you if he's not on the field. And that's a decision that then you're going to have Pirlo making in terms of what the rotation is going to be. I don't think that that's the direction that Juventus should go into. As for Atletico Madrid, I think that's a different story, because now you bring in an element, an emotional element for Luis Suarez, in saying, you know what, there's a certain motivation to stay in La Liga and to prove that I can still score goals at this level. And mind you, no team plays more with a chip on their shoulder than a Diego Simeone team. So the matchup of Diego Simeone, Luis Suarez, Atletico Madrid, a chip on their shoulder, Barcelona, resentment, all of those things come together and make a whole lot of sense for Atletico Madrid, and it makes a whole lot of sense for Luis Suarez as well.
I'm not as convinced, particularly around Atletico Madrid. Just given the style that we've seen from Atleti over the years, given what we know of Diego Simeone and what he'll expect out of his players, I'm not sure that Luis Suarez is that player. Emotionally, yes, but I'm not sure he's the one to go chasing back. He's the one to do the kind of work that'll be expected of him. As far as Juventus goes, as good a job as Juventus have done with bringing players in who may be surplus to other big clubs' requirements and making successes of them, it's the position here. And whereas Ronaldo doesn't fall into that previous category, you put Luis Suarez alongside an aging Cristiano Ronaldo. Again, given the fact that I don't think you get the kind of work rate out of Luis Suarez that you would want or expect or playing alongside Ronaldo would need, that too does not make any kind of sense to me.
Meanwhile, Leeds have smashed their transfer record by bringing Rodrigo over from La Liga. And it's always a bit of a lottery whenever you make any sort of, not gambles like this, but signings like this going from one league to another. And I'm thinking of Roberto Soldado in particular, who scored goals in La Liga for fun and then struggled in England. Can Rodrigo supersede what he did, Ali?
Yeah, well, that's not going to be difficult. All that difficult to supersede whatever Roberto Soldado did. I think the bar is very low, if that's indeed the bar that we're shooting after here. All I would say is that Rodrigo, instead of being a guy that is going to depend on scoring a bunch of goals like Soldado was relied upon to do and obviously failed to do so, I think Rodrigo gives you flexibility in the attack and gives you a change of speed and an ability in one-on-one situations. And is more of a back-and-forth player, more of an open game player, which I think suits what happens a lot in the Premier League and when it becomes about athleticism and running with the ball. He can do a lot of those things. But if you're Leeds and teams that are kind of trying to find their footing within the Premier League, well, these are the players that you can go after. You cannot go after the big-name players. That's not your market. And so you'll go after the young, up-and-coming player that has a lot of potential. And if that potential is realized, now you're a genius. And now you're flying because you feel like you've taken the right step, and the right step in making sure that not only are you a major player in the Premier League, but first and foremost, that you stay in the Premier League.
Again, this is one I'm a little bit torn on. Listen, Rodrigo's numbers have not been great. And as much as Leeds aim to create a lot of opportunities under Bielsa, teams that are newly promoted struggle to do that. Now, we will see exactly how Leeds and Bielsa cope with the Premier League and and that transition. And maybe that provides more opportunities for Rodrigo to get himself on the score sheet, to make those numbers look a lot more respectable. But what we've seen of him over the last couple of seasons, at the very least, I'm not sure that he answers those questions otherwise.
Well, remember, the transfer window opened till the start of October. For all the latest, you can go over to ESPN FC and check out Transfer Talk. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll end the show with a goalkeeper talk, shall we, Chad? Starting off with old Donnarumma. He's been linked to a move to Chelsea. Kepa going in the other direction. I imagine Chelsea would like that very much. AC Milan certainly would be getting the short straw, you would suggest.
Well, without question, Donnarumma is an incredibly talented goalkeeper, has been for quite some time. Was on Liverpool's radar pre-Alisson. Listen, if Chelsea can pull this off, I think it's an absolute coup.
He is good enough with his feet. We know he's a good shot stopper.
Yes, I think so. And he continues to grow into the game. And that the one thing I like about Donnarumma is how much he's improved over the years. He's been in AC Milan's starting lineup for, 4 or 5 years now and continues to get better. The question whether Donnarumma fits in at Chelsea or makes them better, that's not what we're looking at. Anybody's trying to answer here. This all hinges on Kepa and whether Chelsea can get Kepa out the door. I still maintain, I'm not sure who pays Chelsea much of a transfer fee if they recoup half that money. They've done well. And I still think Chelsea would have to pick up a bit of his wages, which makes any prospective move with that on top or the more expensive.
Yeah, those reports coming out of England. I don't know if Frank Lampard wrote them himself. final point, just to go full circle. Martinez or Leno? Who is the first choice goalkeeper for Arsenal now?
Martinez.
Right.
Everything about Martinez for me has been better than we've seen from Bernd Leno. And as much hype as Bernd Leno has come in with, Martinez has outperformed him in between these sticks. Statistically, you take it.
Xhaka, thank you very much. Extra Time is next. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets.
You know, that show was... That live show... This live show...
Right.
It's all live.
Yep.
It's really disconcerting.
Why?
For me.
What was the concern?
How long have I been in this TV business?
37 years.
At least.
Yep.
And every time I'm looking at my camera...
Yes.
I'm talking to you...
Yep.
Behind that camera there...
Yes.
In the monitor...
It's a big picture
is
of Robbo.
A big, oversized picture of Stuart Robson. Right? With that overcoat on. Now, there's not many things put me off, Robbo, but there, look at that. Like, I've been looking at you for the last half an hour every time I've been talking.
He's better dressed than Don, surely.
Yeah, well, he's better dressed than Don.
Robbo and Don then with us. I think I'm pick up these...
Is it cold, Robbo, there?
Very cold, I've got to say. I'm not appropriately dressed. I'm a bit underdressed, I think, for the occasion. Don's got it right with a cap and a big coat.
No, he's not.
Albeit a poor coat and a poor cap.
Right, let's get to the question. Let's start with Don, shall we? Don, why would Klopp let Brewster take a penalty ahead of Mane?
That's a very good question. Maybe
He thought he was confident in a young kid. It gives him that little bit of experience. He can lean on that knowledge further down the line, but it's a very good question. I wouldn't have certainly went for that, but interesting.
Because it was a community shield.
So it give him a little bit of confidence?
If it'd been the FA Cup final or the Champions League final, we'd probably have seen Andy Robertson take one.
Right.
Arguably Virgil van Dijk, who's a great striker of a ball, Gomez, Mane. The experienced players would all have taken a penalty before any of the kids.
Right.
So that, I'm not saying if you're a Liverpool fan and you...
So why did Salah take one?
Well, I mean, one of the experienced players got to take one.
Right.
You know, I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head how many kids were on the field at that point, or youngsters. But maybe he was thinking, Salah takes it first, get up, get on the board, then hopefully Alisson makes a save and then he takes the pressure off the kids. Never happened though.
Can Arsenal, Craig, win the Champions League in 3 years, like Mikael said? This is to Craig to let him see how long he can remain a people person.
Well, Arsenal haven't won the Champions League ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the least of their problems at the moment. I think getting into the mix for the top four is the first one. And getting rid of Mesut Ozil would be quite high up there as well. And keeping Aubameyang and then eventually challenging in your own domestic league. I would suggest that's a better pathway than worrying about winning the Champions League, which they've never won.
Robert, can this team finish top four?
They can, but I think it'd be difficult for them. I think they'd have to play very well. They'd have to make sure that Mikel Arteta gets all his tactics right week in, week out, and the players perform to the best of their ability. But I think it's going to be a struggle for them. Maybe fifth place would be the best they could hope for.
Did Don...
We did decide that on the show yesterday that you were not on.
What's that?
I'm going to be a different...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I missed that. Yeah.
No more argumentative.
Really?
No more debates on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just going to do straight...
Yeah, we'll believe
boring, analytical guff.
This is a great question. Did Don miss his commitments as a player like he does for ESPN?
Did I what, sorry?
Do you miss your commitments? Because you're supposed to be on the pre-show. You didn't turn up for that. Late then for the post-show. Technical issues as well.
I weren't late. I weren't late. I was professional. I was watching the penalties.
I weren't
by the
late.
Way,
I
by
weren't
the way,
late.
Robbo's
what
getting
English
nervous.
Is that, Don?
Robbo's getting nervous because the Arsenal fans are descending again, so he's getting sweaty.
Don, look behind you, the grammar police are there.
What did I say? I weren't late.
Weren't late. Okay.
Weren't late.
Well, you stuffed
weren't
up
late.
That opening segment because I don't know if it was pre-recorded or not.
Well,
it looked
late.
As if it was, but whether it was pre-recorded or... And I don't want any cast questions here, but I've already heard the boss is not happy.
No, I've heard that. Robbo?
All I would say is...
I weren't late.
All I'd say is Don, very much like when he was playing, that when things aren't going his way, he gets aggressive.
Yes.
You know how aggressive he got there.
Yeah, I know. We've seen that,
That's
it?
What he was like as a player. I think he got sent off 20 times, I think,
I know.
In his career.
YouTube, some of those sending offs.
Make a 21 in a minute, Robbo. I'll make a 21 in a minute.
Will ESPN FC pundits continue to give Liverpool a pass, Craig? Oh, people burst. It's gone. That's it.
What big pass? They've just won the Champions League the year before and they've just won the English Premier League by a country mile. What are we supposed to say? Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp should be sacked.
Well, that's it. That's the clip there.
Hold on.
Clip that off.
Hold on.
Robbo, concerns?
Concerned that we give Liverpool a pass? Not really, no. I think they're still a very top side. We saw it in the Champions League, as Craig just said. They were Premier League winners by a country mile last season. They're still an excellent side, and they will be for much this season. I still think, unless Man City get Messi, Liverpool will still win the title.
Here we go. This is for Don. The Chelsea signings so far have credited a conversation with Frank Lampard, as the new convincing reason for them to join the club. What is it about Frank, a relatively new manager, Don, that he was able to get the players to join Chelsea?
Because of his personality, and he sells the club, and he sells the position that they're going to play in. Listen, everyone wanted Timo Werner. Every single one in Europe wanted Timo Werner. But Frank was the one that convinced him to come and sign to Chelsea because he had identified that he could either play off the left-hand side and score 20 goals a season or play as potentially a number nine and score 25 goals a season and pay him a bucket loads of money. And Chelsea's a desirable place to live. Why wouldn't you want to sign for Chelsea and Frank Lampard?
Oh, Liverpool couldn't afford him.
Well, and Liverpool didn't want to spend the money. Well, there's also the other caveat that I'm sure Frank Lampard threw in there when he was having these conversations, that there would be dinner with Don.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
Don serving up.
Hey, by the way, Don, if you're a Liverpool fan now, how gutted are you that you haven't signed Timo Werner and Thiago just yet?
But that had nothing to do with Jurgen Klopp not ringing him up and going, oh, you're going to be great for us. It was the fact that the Fenway group wouldn't give him the money.
He did. No. Let's have it right. The three managers went to see him. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Jurgen Klopp and Frank Lampard all went to see Timo Werner. And he was convinced to sign for Frank Lampard's Chelsea.
Don, I think you've been there. Did you just come off one of the space shuttles? I mean, Timo Werner himself said he wanted to go to Liverpool, but the Fenway group pulled the plug on it.
Yes. But Jurgen Klopp still met with him and his representatives, so that tells me that they still wanted to sign him.
Yeah, he met with his...
Why would you go and see him if you don't want to sign him?
They met with his representatives before the pandemic. Once the pandemic kicked in, the budgetary plan from Liverpool changed and they didn't have the money to pursue that because they had other things.
No.
Craig, it's Frank.
It's Frank.
It's Frank. No, you can't. Frank. You can't.
It's not. It's people were worried where Timo Werner was actually going to fit in because when you talk of Firmino and Salah and Mane, they seem undroppable. But you see, like Liverpool today, where Mo Salah clearly didn't fancy it, if Timo Werner plays for Liverpool today, they beat Arsenal.
Robbo, you look a bit baffled by this whole conversation.
He looks cold.
He does look cold.
Well, I'm just wondering whether Don works for the same agency as Frank Lampard, because that seems to be the case. I think the main thing that why these players have gone to Chelsea is because there's bucket loads of money being thrown their way. I'm not sure it's because of Frank Lampard's expertise as a manager or his great conversational skills, but, you know, they're at Chelsea and I think Chelsea will be a good side this season.
Don, shouldn't you give Robbo your hat? Because at least you've got a bit of hair on your head to keep it warm.
Robbo can have my hat. Do you want my hat?
Not really, no.
Come on, you do.
You do.
No,
thank you.
This is a comedy show, isn't it?
No.
So you can have a snood.
He's got a bigger head than me.
Do you want a snood?
Oh, goodness. After a draw against Salzburg and a loss in the Community Shield, do Liverpool need to look more seriously about strengthening their squad this summer, Robbo?
Yes, I think they do, and I think Thiago would be a great player to strengthen their squad. I don't think they need too much more. You know, they won the Premier League by a country mile last year, so having Thiago in that side, we saw that they can't always create chances when teams drop that little bit deeper. He would add something different to them, and somebody said he'd be a great sort of backup for Henderson. Well, he'd be way ahead of Henderson. He would be their main man in midfield to pick up. He could even play in the role that Fabinho plays in terms of dictating the play and picking out those passes, just as he did for Bayern Munich in the Champions League final.
I think they need a backup for Firmino.
Right.
Yeah, I think they need something different when a game's not going there. And he does brilliant things, as you know. It's like his defensive work, his movement, his physicality, his link-up. He gets his quota of goals, but he's not a natural, you know, 30 goals a season man. He does other stuff. I think they need something a little different when games are going against them, because, you know, we've seen Divock Origi and others come in and try and do a job. There's been a couple of youngsters in there, but I think and it's also the fact when you say do Liverpool need to bolster the squad, I think it's so important when you've had the success they have that your manager is seen to be going out and freshening things up.
Yep.
To make sure nobody's becoming lazy about the selection of the team, because like somebody coming in and pushing Mane, pushing Firmino. Go on.
Craig, you're absolutely right, because when Liverpool in the late 70s, the 80s, when they were dominating English football, every season they went and bought two players. Not always to get into the side, but they bought them to be backup, and then eventually they would be top-class players. They did it every season.
two or three players. Stevie Nicol was one when they'd won the title a couple of times. They brought him in and he stayed on the substitute bench for 6 months to 9 months and then got in the team. It was an outstanding player and they did that over and over again. And whenever you're winning titles, you have to keep doing that. And that's what I think Liverpool will do over the next couple of seasons.
Craig, you're absolutely right. Craig, you're absolutely right. Craig, you're absolutely right. Who's this Divock Origi, by the way? Who's this Divock Origi? Is he a new signing, Craig?
What did I say?
No, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Well, who is
Origi.
It? Yeah, who is it? Origi?
Origi.
Oh,
Origi.
Hey, listen.
Origi.
Listen, 5 minutes ago, the grammar police were taking you away, right? And now you're having a now you're having a pop at me.
How's your De Gea, Don?
I'm just getting a two-footer in.
Yeah, I know.
OK, Robbo, who'd be a better fit for Juve, Uer or McKennie?
Aouar, I think you say his name. There's another one. Aouar of Lyon is an outstanding player.
I did that again, you know. I was thinking,
no, I don't think you did, Dan. I think Jules Laurent pulled you up on it last time, and I'm going to pull you up on it. Aouar is his name. He's a good midfield player. I think he's exceptional. I think he was the better of the two between Ndombele and himself last season. I'm surprised he didn't go last year. It'll be a great move for Juventus. They need midfield players now. I think it'd be a good fit for
them. Tell you what, pull the lights out in these two.
Which two?
Robson and Hutchinson.
By the way,
standing there in London, picking me and you up, you and I, Grammar, picking you and I up in our mistakes.
By the way,
fade the mics down.
By the way, Eustace should be sacked comparing Weston McKennie to Aouar. Not even close.
We're not competing. It's this person tweeting in. Do I say extra time work? Don't go on YouTube comments on us.
Shouldn't even read the tweet.
It's so our cool. Boss chose the tweet, Don.
I've had this issue before about how we filter tweets on this show. But, you know, that's not saying we don't take responsibility here, but we don't. And we faded those two down. Yeah?
I don't, can't believe Don's having a go in the boss.
Robbo, should we go on? Should we go on?
It's getting cold, isn't it?
It's getting
cold.
We're going.
To be fair, when that tweet came up, I knew you were in trouble.
I know. I second guessed it as well. Right, Craig, do you think you would have liked playing under Mourinho if you had stayed at Chelsea for a few more years?
Yeah. Oh, well, no. I've had to have stayed a long time.
Yes.
2004.
Mm-hmm.
I'd finished playing by then.
Oh.
But, no, I mean, look. You know, Mourinho, particularly in his early years, the players loved him. Every player. Well, not everyone, there'd been one or two. But you've got to look at the success Chelsea had when he went in and how the harmony in the camp was. That wasn't the case the second period there. You've got to look at when he left Inter Milan. The press hated him, but the players loved him. They won the Champions League. Mm. They were crying when he left some of the Inter Milan.
Why are you
players.
Giving his resume? Are you just doing it to annoy them, just so they've got to stay in the cold for longer?
No, I'm answering.
I think Mourinho said that it was one of his biggest disappointments when he was at Chelsea. They didn't have Craig Burley in midfield to run it for them.
Yes, Robbo. Yes, Robbo. Get in there.
Couple of Muppets.
Right, final tweet.
What? I don't get paid enough for this.
What?
Listen to these two.
What?
Here all night, right? Well, let's get. We'll do 100 questions.
100 questions.
I don't care.
Weston McKennie, or why are you wearing white socks? Have you been arrested by the fashion police yet? You wearing white socks?
No, you are.
I'm wearing white socks. That's all right, isn't it?
No, it's not all right.
Why?
I can tell you now.
What?
What?
No, you've come here to shoot. You've got white ankle socks on.
What's wrong with
Robbo,
that?
Dan's got white ankle socks on. We know he's not the best.
Let's see what's the problem.
That's a no-go.
Why?
That is a no-go.
I bet you
cannot wear white ankle socks. What?
No. I bet you. Well,
what
you
are you wearing? What's? You can only do that if you've got shorts on. And
yes.
I presume you haven't got shorts.
I wear white ankle socks with my the sports socks with my golf shorts.
Right.
I don't come to work.
No one's looking at my feet, are they?
Well, the people are.
Wow.
A, I don't come to work with ankle socks, and B, I don't come to work with white socks. White socks should not be worn with any long pants, right? Trust me. No. I bet you're the type of bloke where you've got shorts on, you wear white socks that come up to your knees.
Only when I'm wearing my sandals.
You could put shin pads in them. You don't wear white socks, you've got to wear coloured socks. But we know that there are people take you to be dressed.
Yeah, that's it. Don, last word for you on fashion.
Yeah, white socks is a no-no. I mean, everyone knows that after the age of, what, 7? So have you gone to work with white socks on? What's made you go in the drawer and go, I know, I'll wear white socks today?
Because he's...
Craig's in. He's
no
not going to pick up on it.
He's no idea.
I want people to see me.
No, I did pick up on it, but I didn't. All right, I didn't. because I didn't see them.
Yeah, exactly. No one sees it. We're behind a desk. But,
and he's also got flared bottoms to his jeans.
I've got flared bottoms to my jeans. What are you talking about?
What?
No, I got flared bottoms.
Yeah. What's he, 1974?
That is ridiculous.
He's not got into the. He's not getting. He's not
Don,
yet.
What you have to remember, he's from Cornwall. Yeah. He is from Cornwall.
He's not into the slim.
They are a bit backward down there.
Let's go home.
I mean, he's not into the slim straight jean fit yet. I mean, I'm trying to tell him. He's looking at my gear, trying to pick something out.
I'm not saying anything.
You've got to go for the slim, straight, stretchy denim.
Really?
Get away from that bell-bottom.
Bell-bottom. That is it, then. That
White
brings
socks,
us to the end of Extra
bell-bottom.
Time. Go and warm up, boys. We'll be back tomorrow for more of this. Messi, I imagine, will dominate the conversation once again.
I'm off.
You're not off tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
No, you're not?
Yes, I am.
No, you're not?
Oh, it's Sunday tomorrow. Oh, I thought it was Monday.
Jeez. We'll be back in the studio. I'm going to wear white socks, definitely.
Put them over your head.
And some flares.